Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor at the Kodesh Family Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now, get ready to be transformed by this message.
Today, it is a message for you as well, and it is to to reveal to you what promises and what riches you have. So he says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Are you listening?
Yes.
You want to know what the secret is? Who wants to know what the secret is? I think that all these people don't want to know. So let me go to this father now. Who wants to know what the secret is? He says, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Wow. He says, Christ lives in you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, here is a great secret. He says, Christ lives in you. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are here who can say that. Christ lives in me. But here is a great secret. That if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, then hear this secret, which has been held from generations past, that you as a person sitting here, Christ lives in you. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, God is revealing a great secret to you, that Christ lives in you.
Amen.
He says, now this gives you assurance of sharing his glory.
Amen.
It gives you the assurance of sharing God's glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ living in you gives you great assurance in sharing the glory of God. This is what Paul was writing to the church. So the next verse, he says, so we tell others about Christ. It's a great mystery. So we tell others about Christ. We have to tell others about Christ. We want to tell you about Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, because of this, we tell others about Christ. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. With every wisdom that God has given us, we want to use it to tell everyone. We want to tell you also. This is a great mystery.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, that is why we warn everyone. This is why we want to warn you too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is why we want to teach you too.
Amen.
Then he says, we want to present them to God. Perfect in their relationship to Christ.
Amen.
Perhaps you come to church all the time, but you are not perfect. And this is why we stand before you to warn you.
Tell us.
This is why we teach you that in the end, we present you to God perfect.
Amen.
In your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
He said, that is why I work and struggle so hard. That is why I go through difficulties to bring this good news to you. That is why, even when you don't want to come, we are pulling you and inviting you and bringing you, because you need to hear this.
Amen.
You need to hear this.
Amen.
He says, that is why I work so hard and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in this letter that Paul wrote to the church, he stated that Jesus Christ is your only hope.
Amen.
In fact, he's saying Jesus is your only hope. He says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, hope is a very vital thing if you want to live. Is somebody listening?
Yes.
I said hope is a very vital thing. It's such a strong and a positive ingredient if you want to live.
Amen.
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 If you desire to go on in life, if you want to be in health, hope is a very vital instrument that has to be in your life. Hallelujah. Hope is needed for anyone to continue in life. You know, there was an experiment that was performed on mice. And what they did was they put a mouse in a bucket of water which was placed in a room where there was no light. It was completely dark. And they put a mouse in that bucket of water. And then the mouse began to swim. Began to swim to stay afloat. Began to swim to keep its head up. And the mouse swam and swam and swam. And in a few hours, they noticed the mouse went down the water and drowned and died. And then they brought the same type of bucket with the same amount of water and put a similar kind of mouse in that bucket,
okay,
and placed in a dark room again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, they did something differently.
Wow.
This time, they made a little hole and threw a light through that hole into the bucket.
Okay.
There was a little light that was shining. And so the mouse, are you listening?
Oh, yes.
The mouse began to swim and swim.
Mm-hmm.
And this mouse continued swimming and swam and swam. And it swam past the hours that the other mouse swam. And it continued swimming and swam for several hours.
Wow.
And continued swimming. And do you know why that same type of mouse continued on and on and on? Because there was that light.
Wow.
That light gave that mouse hope that if I continue on, I will live. And that mouse continued to swim and continue because there was hope. Hope is such a vital thing for anyone to live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In my little experience, even in the field of medicine, I have realized that people who lie on a critical situations or in critical situations and are dying, I have seen that the ones that have hope make a lot of difference. The ones whose families have hope, they make a lot of difference. I see how people come around and they surround a person, and they pray, and they make certain confessions, and they speak to this person, and give this person hope. And I have seen that as long as a person has hope, they live. You know, and I see that when they lose that hope of survival, they begin to go down. You know, even in the times of the HIV pandemic, you know, I realize that there are people They walk around with HIV and they do not know. And they are fine. And they go for routine examination and they just get tested. They say, yeah, why not? And they get tested. And the moment they know they have HIV, that they know, well, this is not now, but then, that HIV was a disease that will just kill you. The moment you know they have that knowledge, they lose hope in life and they begin to go down like this, very fast. The same thing during the last pandemic. Are you listening? So hope is a very vital thing. Hope is so important and is so necessary for anyone to continue to live. Even as for spiritual healing, you will notice that miracles happen so many times in places where they have hope in a miracle. Compared to, for instance, you know, several developed countries, you know, when you are sick, you have hope in a doctor. You know, you know that you have hope in some medicine. You know that your insurance can afford to give you a certain type of medicine. And that is where your hope is. So miracles don't even work for you because you don't have hope. When you have hope in a thing, it gives you life.
Yes.
That is why you see a lot of miracles in poor nations because they have no hope in medicine. They have no hope in a doctor. There is nothing that they can afford. So their hope is in God. Their hope is in miracles. Their hope is in healing. Therefore, they have hope. And they live. Does somebody understand what I'm sharing?
Yeah.
So when you don't have hope, you begin the dying process. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, faith shows the reality of what we are hoping for. In the New Living Translation, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Hallelujah. Without faith, hope is useless. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the loss of hope, when you lose hope, you begin a dying process. When you don't have hope, death sets in and you begin to die. And I will show you. Amen.
Amen.
When you don't have hope, it is called a state of hopelessness. When you don't have hope, you are in a state of hopelessness. No hope.
No hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you happen to be in that state of hopelessness, you begin the dying process. When you happen to be in a state where you have no hope, then you get what they call depression. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You begin to have situations of isolation. You begin to have situations of loneliness. The reason why many people are lonely and many people are depressed and many people are isolated is because of the lack of hope. Amen. The reason why many people commit suicide, you see, I am telling you that when you lose hope, you begin the dying process. And the dying process can be any form, anyhow, because I want to show you who brings a state of hopelessness. When you lose hope, you begin the dying process. Many people who commit suicide do not have hope. Many of you are sitting here today, you have had a moment in your life where you felt like dying. You felt like there's no reason to continue living because you have no hope. When you don't have hope, you begin a dying process. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you don't have hope, you feel there is no need to live anymore. Now, the devil's original way of deceiving people has always been the same. It has always been the same. He has played the same card over and over and over, and it's the same card that is playing on you right now. And the same card is playing today. And that card is to make you feel that there is no hope in God. That card is to make you feel that there is no God. He will do anything for you to never have that hope, because his ultimate goal is to kill you, is to destroy you. He says the thief cometh not. He will not come to you, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is the same card. It is the same card that he came to Adam and Eve and said that this God told you really that you don't have to eat this. Don't trust him. Don't believe in him. And when they lost that trust, that hope in God, they begin the dying process. That is his goal. You lose faith. You lose trust. You lose hope in God. You begin the dying process. Many of you have no hope in God. And that is exactly where the enemy wants you. Is somebody listening to me?
Oh,
yes. That is exactly where the enemy wants you. To take away your hope. To put you in a state of hopelessness. So you begin to die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By this afternoon, this resurrection Sunday, I brought some great news to you. This resurrection Sunday, I came to announce to you that Jesus Christ in you is your hope of glory. That when Jesus is in you, there is hope of glory. When Jesus comes into your life, he changes everything. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, he says that dead things, the things that do not, will become as though they are. Dead things begin to arise again. Situations that are dead will begin to come back again. Oh, and when you are in a situation where you feel like taking your life, this afternoon I came to announce to you, Jesus Christ brought you hope. He says Christ in you, he is the hope of glory. Christ Jesus in you will be a hope of glory. Oh yes. I know you have been in that situation. I know you have felt very low before. And he says, if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you will see how every dead situation rises back to life. And the Bible says, this is a great mystery. It is a great mystery. And that is why we work so hard that we will bring you this news. That is why we work. This is what Paul said. He said, this is why we struggle. We work so hard to bring him that we will give him this news. And let God work with you. And let God work on you. And let God use the message on you to work on you. Because the enemy wants you to be in a state of hopelessness.
Amen.
We are not ignorant people.
At all.
We are learned people.
Oh, very.
We are educated people.
Very.
We understand science.
Oh, yes.
We understand how the solar system works. We have studied physics.
Oh, yes.
We have studied chemistry.
Oh, yes.
We have studied biology.
Oh, yes.
We know how every organ in your body works.
That's right.
But we also know that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, you accept him. Yes, he knows the tears. He knows the disappointment. He's aware of that, the state of hopelessness. He knows the addiction. Oh yes, it's uncontrollable. He knows all of them. And he puts you in a situation of taking your life and ending it all. But he says, if you will accept me, if you will welcome me into your life, you will see this mysterious thing happening to you. You see that suddenly you feel like you want to live again. Oh yes, it's mystery. I said it is mystery. Jesus is the answer to all. I said Jesus is the answer. Psalm 73 and verse 28 in the New Living Translation, it says, but ask for me. This is what David said. The psalmist. He says, but ask for me. How good it is to be near God.
Wow.
It says, as for me,
wow,
the nearness of God in the NASB. He says, the nearness of God is my good. He says, how good it is to be near God. He says, I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. I have made God my shelter. He says, how good it is to be near God. My sister, my brother, I don't know how near God is to you. But I tell you that the nearness of God to anyone is so good. It's a very good thing. He says, how good? He says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I will tell everyone all the wonderful things that you do. I will announce it to the nations. I will let the nations know. I will tell it to the nations. I will broadcast it to the nations. How good it is to be near God. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Beloved, you have not tasted it. I said you have not tasted God. You have not tried God. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. That the hopelessness, taste God and see. Welcome God and see that the Lord is good. I said, taste and see. You have not experienced it. You can't describe it because you have not tasted it. But this afternoon, I want to give you the opportunity to taste God and see that the Lord is good. Taste God and see that God is good. Accept God into your life and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that God is good. He says, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. You have no clue. Beloved, do not be deceived by the wicked one. Do not be deceived by this wisdom of this world. Do not be deceived. He says, the joys of those who take refuge in him. That is why there will be people getting laid off around you. But for some reason, they see you still laughing and still want to move on and go on. And they say, my God will take care of me. I am sure he'll take care of you. You have not just said him yet. But he says, who can hear it? If I will not open the windows of heaven and call you out.
Preach.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Continue. Let's read it. It says, fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Those who fear God, they will have all they need. And it's a fact. I'm announcing to you that it is a fact. It is not a mystery. It is not a story. it is a fact that those who fear God, they will have all they need. Is there anything else you can read on that? Keep going. It says, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Strong young lions. You know, they are described as the strongest of the forest. But the Bible says, even the strong young lions, they will go hungry. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter how much you earn. There are situations that make you hungry and you cannot provide for yourself. I know. There is no one. There is a situation in your life right now that troubles you. There is a situation in your life right now that keeps you awake at night. There is a situation in your life right now that you can see the end from the beginning. But it says, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. That is a fact. I'm giving you facts in life. But you have not tasted it. So it sounds like a mystery. You have not tasted it. You have not tried God. And that is why we work so hard to bring you that we will tell you this. Because he wants his people to know it is the devil who takes that hope from you. The next verse. He says, come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. It's important. I will teach you to fear the Lord. He says, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Oh, can I see a show of hands? Is there anyone that wants to live a life that is long and prosperous? I don't think there's any one single person who is here that does not want to live a life that is long and prosperous. He says, there's the answer. Is there anyone? Say, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. What else to do? Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Maintain it. Maintain it. The peace is in God. The peace is in God. Not this temporal, and you are here today, and you are here on Easter, and you are here on Christmas. He says, you search for it and you work to maintain it. It is work to maintain. It takes work to serve God. It takes effort. It doesn't come. If you want to have a church that is next to your door, that you wake up and your neighbor next door has a church so you can enter and serve God, it's not work. You have to work to serve God. There are things, you know, let me tell you something. Do you know what is work by definition? Do you know what is work? Who knows what is work? You know, if there is nothing that is resisting you, if there is no force that is resisting you, you have not done work. You see, you must exert it over a distance. Thank you, doctor. You know, you see, if I put this book here, you know, and it's not moving, there's no work. If this is how you want to serve God, then you are not serving God. But there has to be a movement.
Yes.
And it can only move when a force is exerted. When a force goes through a distance, when a mass moves through a distance, when you put your weight through a distance, when things are fighting you to prevent you from serving God, and you are pushing to serve God, you are continuing. When things are working on your mind to keep you doubting God and not trusting God, and you fight this doubt, and you push to accept God, to serve God. He says, and you work to maintain it. You have to work to maintain it. You have to do things to maintain it. This laziness, it does not serve God. This myself, this as a physical life, it does not serve God. But you have to work to maintain it. You have to work to serve God. going anywhere. That the work on you, the main work on you by the devil, is to make you never trust in God and never believe in God and never have hope in God. And then he can begin to kill you and destroy you and bring you down, down and down and down until you feel so depressed and feel like, I don't want to live anymore. When there's that light and mouse, when there's that light of Jesus Christ in you, you will continue on. You will live. You will continue on. You will have energy. You will have strength. You will move on. You will continue on. Christ in you. Put your hands together. Beloved, I want you to reflect on the message that God has brought to you this afternoon. Many of you have been in churches. Many of you have heard about Jesus Christ. Some of you have even received Jesus Christ one time in your life. But if you look in your life today, there is no Christ in you. This afternoon, no matter what your situation has been, no matter who you are, Jesus Christ came for you. He brought you here for a reason. Reflect on what you have just heard. And I want to give you one more chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to welcome Jesus Christ into your life. It is a chance. Perhaps you may not hear this again. There is life in Jesus. Now there's eternal life and eternal condemnation. Jesus Christ wants to give you life and is giving you an opportunity today to choose to either live eternally with him or you die and go to hell. These are real things. Do not let the enemy put you in a state of hopelessness to take you down and make you so depressed that you want to end life. I want to give everyone here an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. If you are here, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, wherever you are right now, I want you to just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You are saying, Pastor, I hear your sign. I see your hand. I see your hand. You are here and you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus Christ. Down before, I have been down, down, down. I need his hope. I need Jesus Christ. If that is you, just keep your right hand. I see your hand and I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? You want to receive Jesus Christ? I see your hand. I see your hand. Christ in you is your hope of glory. There is addiction. There's someone here with an addiction. You have an addiction problem. And it seems like there's no hope. Jesus Christ is that light at the end of that dark tunnel. You look before you and it looks so dark ahead of you. It looks like there's no hope. There's no light. Jesus is here to save you. Jesus is here to receive you. You are the reason why he died and rose again. Keep your hand up. I see all those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. God bless all of you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I feel there's someone here. You are contemplating. Is it the moment? Yes, it's the moment. Keep your hand up. Now, if you have lifted up your hand, I want you to take one bold step with me. I want to pray with you. I want you to come over here. Just take one bold step and come pray. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus brought you here for this purpose, for this reason. Do not look back. Oh yes, you feel you are giving your life to Christ before. But today, Jesus Christ is calling you again. He said, I have hope. I have hope for you. Yes, there going to church, but you know there is no hope. You have no hope in God. But this afternoon, God is giving you that chance to welcome Him. He said, "Test and see. Test me and see, and you'll see what will happen." All of you who are standing here, I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to repeat this after me. You are making a great confession to welcome Jesus Christ into your life. And say, lift up your right hand with me and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again on the third day. This afternoon, I confess my sins. I receive you as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, I need a hope that comes from you. Now sit with me. Say, Satan, I do not walk with you anymore. I have made a choice. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. Say, Christ in me is my hope of glory. Say, I have a new light. I'll continue swimming. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen."
We believe you have been blessed with this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Kodesh Family Church, located at 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.